turning in our Bible to Romans, the 6th chapter, and just one verse, as we have announced, verse 23 of Romans 6. The wages of sin, that's what I've earned. That's what's coming to me. That's what I deserve. The wages of sin is death. Death, eternal separation, condemnation from God Almighty, separation from Him. That's what I've earned. That's what I've deserved. The wages of sin is death. But look at this little word here, B-U-T. That is a big word in Scripture. When you look at everything that God describes that we are in Ephesians chapter 2, without God, without hope, without Christ, by nature children of wrath, even as others, and then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead and in sin, and had quickened us together with Christ Jesus. But God, but the gift of God, oh, the gift of God. Here's the gift that keeps on giving. Here's the gift that's an everlasting gift from the hand of the everlasting God that has everlasting consequences. The gift of God is life, eternal life. Through, by, because of the merit, sacrifice, person, work, and blood of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. He is Lord. Now, the title of this message, Bad News and Good News. Oftentimes, we hear someone come to us and they will say something like, well, we've got some news for you. We want you to hear some news. And oftentimes they say, well, you know, I have some bad news and I have some good news. Which do you want to hear first? And oftentimes we might say, well, give us the bad news first. And then we might more appreciate the good news. Well, this is also true concerning the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is some terrible bad. It's true. It's true news, but there is some terrible bad news that God's servants are determined to declare. And the bad news goes like this. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The bad news goes like this. In Adam, all died. All sinned in that representative head, Adam. And when he fell, we fell in him. That's the bad news. The bad news goes this way. When sin is finished, it brings death to this body. The bad news goes this way. The soul that sinneth it shall surely die. But in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not only bad news, and I would be neglectful to withhold the bad news, because we must know the extent of the fall and man's ruin and man's sin and what we are. But in the preaching of the gospel, there is also most glorious good news. Good tidings of great joy. That's what I bring unto you. For in this city, there's born, given of God, a Savior who is a Savior of His body. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. This is good news. I tell you who it's good news too. To those who know something about the bad news. To those who know something of their sin, their guilt, the infirmity, the flesh. To those who know something of sin, the remedy. Oh, that's good news. If you were stricken vile with cancer and on your deathbed and knowing that unless somebody intercede for you, unless something takes place, you are bound to be terminal and die, and yet someone comes along with a sure remedy, a sure cure that has had a track record in the past of complete remission of your disease, and they came in your room and told you about, you remember the doctor walked in one day and he said, I've got some bad news for you. What is it? You're going to die. But then here a week or so later, someone comes up with some kind of remedy. And this has happened. I've seen this happen.
Good news! There's a cure! Now, you wouldn't be interested in the cure, would you? Unless you had that disease. And I tell you, if you were stricken with that disease, you sure would. What'd you say? Huh? Tell me again. There's a cure for my problem? Oh, yes! You'd be most interested, wouldn't you? This is what the gospel is. It's good news to those who were sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Sinners! That's the good news. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Sinners! This is a faithful saying. This is a faithful... He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. They don't need a remedy. I came to call sinners unto repentance. Until Almighty God has convinced you in your heart. I mean personally, in your heart. We can talk about all the theological ramifications of depravity and sin, but until God has convinced you in your heart of what you are, not what you've done, talking about what you are, until Almighty God convinces and convicts you in your heart of your sin, you won't have any real lasting interest in the good news of salvation upon the merit of Christ. Blood, righteousness, and sacrifice alone. But when He does, you'll no longer fear the bad news. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you will be most eager to hear of that good news. Tell me the good news in Christ Jesus. Christ crucified is all the remedy for our ruin. When you come to understand something of sin, I tell you, you'll have a greater, greater, greater appreciation for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you understand something of the extent of our ruin, you'll have a greater and fuller appreciation for our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your experience? You who know and believe this gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And growing in grace is seeing more and more and more of our vileness and our wretchedness, but as we grow downwardly, seeing the something of the extent of our ruin, we grow in a higher, greater esteem and appreciation of Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. And we sing to Him, be all the honor and glory, both now and forever. Now, here's the first point, and this message has two points, two parts. The first part is the bad news. Five things concerning the bad news. Here's number one. There is a most holy, sovereign God that no sinner can please. That no sinner can please. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn just a page or two over, Romans chapter 8. There is a most holy, sovereign God that no man can approach unto because God is holy. Look what it says right here. No man can please God. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That deep-rooted, deep-seated hatred against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot. Now we see this illustrated all through the Scripture. On that day of atonement, on that day of when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, it says in Leviticus 16 that on that particular day, when that priest took that designated blood and that body was offered on the altar, and they took that blood within the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and took that blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, it says that on that particular day, there was to be no other man in that whole tabernacle, signifying that the only way to approach God was by the designated priest with that designated blood and sacrifice. And that's a whole picture of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can please God. And we'll get to that in a moment. Secondly, there is a most holy law that no sinner can honor, fulfill, or satisfy. The law demands absolute perfection in word, deed, thought, and motive perfectly. And no sinner can satisfy the demands of that holy law. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 and look at this. You know what the law of God says? The law of God says, do. Do. And to offend in any point, at any time, is to be guilty of all the law of God. The law of God says this. Galatians chapter 4, look at this verse, verse 21. Tell me then, you that desire to be under the law, do you hear what it says? Do you understand what it says, what it demands? What does it demand? Turn back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under its curse. For many as are under the works of the law are under its curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I talked to my daughter last night on the phone. And she works in a federal prison as a dietitian. And she meets lots of people. And there's a lot of doctors and a lot of staff people that she works with. Large facility. And one of her co-workers was telling her that he has found the right religion. And she said, oh, really? What is it? Judaism. Judaism is a way. Under the law is a way. And she wisely said, well, do you keep the law? And he says, well, no. About 80% of it. And my daughter said, it's either all or you're damned. You can't meet the demands of God's holy law. That's bad news. That's bad news. It says over here, turn back to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3, the law says, let every mouth be stopped, Romans 3:19, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law of the knowledge of sin. I get amused at those people who put those signs in their yard, the Ten Commandments. You know what they're saying? They're saying they're under the curse. They're under the judgment of God. If you think you're keeping those 10, what about the 690 other precepts of the law? How have you done on them? You see, if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, he come if we can keep the law. If we can satisfy the law, no need for Christ to come. So there is a most holy sovereign God that no sinner can please. Secondly, there is a most holy law that no sinner can honor and fulfill and satisfy. We can't meet the demand of God's law. He set the bar too high that it might condemn us and convict us and drive us to Christ. Thirdly, there is a righteousness that God demands. There is a righteousness that God demands which no sinner can produce. No sinner can produce. Except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, our Lord said, you're not even going to begin to enter into the kingdom of God. It said it must be perfect. The law said it must be perfect to be accepted. And the best I have is filthy rags. That man in his best state is vanity. And the scripture says, you're familiar with it in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none. There's none that understand. There's none that seeks after God. We've all gone out of the way. There is none righteous. No, not one. And we can't muster up, produce a righteousness. And yet this crazy religious world, being ignorant of God, ignorant of the righteousness of God in the gospel, is going about to establish a righteousness of their own. Now you know it's so. We see it on every hand. There is a righteousness that God demands of which no sinner can produce. Fourthly, there is that terrible guilt, load, and condemnation of sin that no sinner can put away. No sinner can put away. No amount of deeds, no amount of abstaining, no amount of religious efforts, works, deeds can put away sin. Not repentance. Repentance can't make atonement for sin. One of our men of the church, his father passed away.
And he wanted me to conduct part of the funeral up our way. I don't know if they do this here, but up our way they have a 3-day funeral. I've never figured this out. But anyhow, they do. But I was invited one of the nights to bring a message. And this brother in the church told me, said, now when you come, he said, you know what I want you to do. I want you to tell the gospel as clearly and plainly as I can. Some of the other preachers that were there who had the second and third day, some of them were of the works flavor, man-based, works-based, man-centered religion, false religion. And when I was preaching from Ephesians chapter 1, talking about the redemption we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I made the statement that your repentance never put away sin, the old man sitting on the front row just almost fell out of his chair. That's a true story. He thought his repentance put away his sin. You know what? True repentance acknowledges the truth of Christ who put away sin. And that's a whole lot of difference. Repentance acknowledges the truth. Repentance doesn't put away sin. Faith doesn't put away sin. Faith acknowledges Christ who did make atonement for sin. You see, there's that terrible load and guilt of sin that no sinner can put away. No amount of deed, effort, sacrifice on the part of any sinner can put away sin. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified, not one time. The blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars that flowed for hundreds and thousands of years, you think of all the blood and the sacrifice, never made atonement for one sin, not the first one. It pictured substitution, pointed to the Lamb, the coming of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, who did put away sin, but that didn't put away sin, not at all. Fifthly, there is a holy, righteous judgment to come in which no unjustified sinner shall escape. There is that holy God with whom we have to do. We have to do. And God has appointed a day in which He will judge this world in righteousness by the Lord Jesus and that gospel of God's saving grace. Well, there's the bad news. There's the bad news. To neglect to preach it would be the height of willful disobedience. And I try as I can to be obedient to my Lord who sent me to tell you the truth. The bad news and the good news. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that's telling the truth of who God is, who Christ is. We're sinners, and the truth of salvation by God's grace alone. God's grace alone. You can clean up the outward, but our Lord said the problem's a little bit deeper. Reformation's not salvation. You clean up the outside, the cup and the platter, but and you can look like a whited sepulcher. But underneath that and inside that whited sepulcher is dead men's bone. Salvation's a heart work. God must do a work of grace in the heart. Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. And the good news is, as it says in the text there, the wages of sin is death. But, the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation, pardon, full and free and eternal through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the first point. And it's just the opposite of those 5 points in the first part of the message. The Lord Jesus Christ as the appointed high priest, designated son of God. He's our mediator, our advocate of the covenant. He always did those things pleasing to God. Always. Our Lord spoke from heaven, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. He always did those things pleasing to the Father. And you know what? What pleases Him pleases me. I'm so pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ that He rendered unto God perfect obedience for me. That He did everything that was pleasing unto God. All He did in word, deed, and thought. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Turn to John 8:29.
He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him.
There never was a time when He said, I must be about my Father's business. He was always doing that pleasing unto the Father. And that which He did as the God-man mediator, He did as a representative man for His covenant people. That's the good news of the gospel. Secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ fully, completely honored and satisfied the holy law of God. All that the holy law of God demanded in precept and in penalty, the Lord Jesus Christ honored every aspect of it. It says in Isaiah 42:21, He had highly exalted the law. He had magnified the law of God and exalted the law of God. He didn't just meet the bare standard. He went beyond and above that standard and magnified God in every aspect of that holy law. He said, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to honor the law. Now, here's the good news. Turn back to Galatians 3 again. Galatians 3, verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Oh, He's delivered us from the curse of that law. The curse of the law took its full, exact penalty, spent itself on Jesus Christ, and because it did, there's no condemnation left for those who are in Christ Jesus. All He did, all He said, most pleasing unto God. That's the good news. The good news. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Bad news. So by the obedience of another, shall many be made righteous. No wonder Paul said, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that was just through the faithfulness of Christ. Completely honored the law of God. In His life, He did love God perfectly. Every motive was a pure motive. Everything He did to the glory of God. I've never done anything to the glory of God. Come on now. There's always been a little element of self in there somewhere. Let me be right honest about it. I was somewhere preaching one time and staying with a young brother, and he asked me, he said, have you ever done anything to the glory of God? I said, no. Not, no, but my Lord did. Every motive of His was pure. Every motive of His was exact in His life. He did love God perfectly. Every motive was right and true. He did love His neighbor so that He laid down His life for His friend. He did honor and magnify God. In His life and in His death, He satisfied the penalty of that law. The penalty of that law, death. He died. My place, my room, my set, took my judgment, my guilt, and set me free. Thirdly, the Lord Jesus Christ brought in, for all whom He represented, everlasting righteousness. And everlasting righteousness. It says this in Daniel chapter 9, that He brought in an everlasting righteousness. Daniel 9:24. Blessed is the man. Turn to Romans 4. Blessed is the man to whom God. You've noticed this verse before, I'm sure. Romans 4:6. Even David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God would impute righteousness without your deeds. That's good news. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed is that man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not, cannot charge sin. Oh, that's good news. That is good news. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He did bring in everlasting righteousness. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10. Christ has made to me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Romans 10. These old Jews. And they're just like the most religious lost folks in our day. No different. Verse 2 of Romans 10, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're ignorant.
Well, don't tell people they're ignorant. Well, God says they are. A man's ignorant who's going about to establish his own righteousness, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Ignorant of his holy character, ignorant of what God demands, his law demands. Therefore, they're going about to establish a righteousness of their own. And they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness. Now notice it, the righteousness that's of God. That's from Him. By Christ's sacrifice, by Christ's obedience. Christ to the end of the law, the goal, the fulfillment, the consummation of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes Him and looks to Him. The Lord brought in a full righteousness, everlasting righteousness that's freely imputed to all who believe. Fourthly, the Lord Jesus Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The bad news is we can't put away sin. The good news is the Lord Jesus Christ did put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Find Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice this. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being in the brightness of His glory, that is the Lord Jesus, brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person, as God manifest in the flesh, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What did He sit down for? Work's done. It's what He done. God raised, God put His stamp of approval on His work. It's complete and finished to the delight and satisfaction of God's law and justice. Raised Him from the dead. Send Him to glory. And seated on the right hand of God, a place of love, power, affection, approval. The Lord Jesus Christ did put away sin. How completely did He put away sin? Turn over to Hebrews 10. Sin's most difficult to put away. I can't deal with it. I can't handle it. It's against God. But I tell you what God provides, God will accept. And that sacrifice He provided is full and complete and total. And that's the only sacrifice for sin that He will accept. Is that one that He provided in Christ Jesus. How complete and how full is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look what it says right here in Hebrews 10, verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 14. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Complete atonement. Complete atonement and eternal atonement. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You know the blood atonement of Jesus Christ? Now listen to me. You know most folks don't know this. The blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is unto the Lord. It's not offered toward men. It's offered to God. It's a satisfaction unto God. That's why it's not up for exception or rejection. It's offered unto God. God said, this is enough. My lamb, my sacrifice. He did put away sin. And by His grace, I bow and believe and love Christ my Redeemer. Fifthly, the Lord Jesus Christ took my sin and taking my sin to Himself. The Lord Jesus taking my sin. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. His covenant people in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ, because He took my sin, taking my place in His own body on the tree. He took my judgment. He took the wrath of God that extinguished itself. He drank the cup of God's wrath completely and totally, and spent all of God's wrath and justice was spent on Christ. And there's no judgment left for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Have you ever read that? Turn over to Romans chapter 8 again. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He that spared. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, who can separate us? See how this chapter starts in verse 1? No condemnation. You see how it ends? No separation. No separation from this love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, turn to Romans 6, 23, one more time. I want you to notice something very carefully here. The gift of God is eternal life. That's good news. But never leave this off. Never leave this off through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Don't ever leave that off. Let me show you a couple of places here. Romans 3, 24. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. Freely by His grace. Remember what we read? Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's justice cannot twice demand at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. That makes Him unjust. The only way God can be a just God and Savior is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. One old songwriter said this, and I'll let you go. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I rest my hope eternally. Did you get that? Upon a life, I did not live. Upon a death, I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I rest my hope eternally. That's substitution. Pastor Mahan used to say, learn the gospel. If you can learn these two words and the implication and truth of it, substitution, satisfaction. The substitute made complete satisfaction. That's good news. Good news.